great morning, great morning, precious people. You know what time it is. It's time for your favorite talk show, The Culture Call, with your boy, L. Spencer Smith, right here on Praise 93.3 FM and 790 WTSK. And as always, we are here to meet where Tuscaloosa meets the world. That's right. We're the place where Tuscaloosa meets the world. And for the next 2 hours, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're going to be talking a little bit about everything. That's right. Everything from society to sports, education to economics, from religion to relationships. And as always, we are here to create a safe space. That's right. A safe space to have empowering, provocative, and yes, sometimes even controversial conversations. And guess what? You can call in and we can learn together right here as we chat it up on The Culture Call. Shout out number one. Hey, it's a new day. And I want to welcome all of our first time listeners to The Culture Call. So glad that you have leaned into the CC family. Welcome. Pull up a chair. Make some space on the couch. We all going to have a good time today. I don't know how you heard about us, but I'm so glad that you did. So whether you're at your job with your AirPods on, whether you're traveling down the highway through our city, or maybe you're on vacation, no matter what you're doing, we are grateful to have you here listening with us for the first time on The Culture Call. And we want to make sure that you know that your seat is always reserved and available for you to join us every day. Absolutely. Shout out number two to all of our faithful, consistent, committed listeners. You are the reason why Culture Call exists, and you are the reason why we are number one. And I am so super excited about that. Hey, you see me in the street and you let me know that I'm doing a good job. You hug me, you shake my hand, you give me dap, whatever it is. I am so glad for your encouragement each and every day. And last but not least, but shout out number three, Brother Jay, the man with the plan. Hey, we are praying for him. We are covering him, and we hope him a speedy recovery. We know that God is a healer. We know that God is a restorer, and we thank God for him every day. Thank him for giving us this opportunity and passing this hot baton to us so many months and so many days. Hey, and tell me, run on to see what the end is going to be. And that's exactly what I'm going to do today as we share in The Culture Call. Listen, I need you to take out your smart device, your Android or your Apple phone. Go to that app store. Go to your app store now and download the app, Praise 93.3 FM. Go ahead, download it on your phone, and that way you can stay in touch with us and know what's happening on the station via the app. You can hear us, all of the wonderful programming, Minister Sandra, Brother Chris, Brother Culture Call, myself. You can hear Brother Ty. You can hear Sister Darlene late at night. Hey, I'm telling you, you've got to get that app, especially as the weather is coming through. Hey, we got weather features. We've got sports and athletics features. I mean, just it's that app is replete with information that you're going to need on a day-to-day basis. So do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Go ahead and download the Praise 93.3 FM app for us. Hey, also, I need you to send your public service announcements in. I need them. I know y'all got Easter programs and concerts, all that coming up. Well, we want to announce them on The Culture Call. So you got to send it in. And here's what you do. Just email me at culturecall.praise@gmail.com. That's culturecall.praise@gmail.com, and give us an opportunity to let Lottie Dottie and everybody know what's happening in your church, your organization, your sorority, your fraternity, whether you're an artist getting ready to have a concert or a choir. Yeah, it's almost Easter season. I know y'all rehearsing. Or if you're a preacher getting ready to run a revival. That's right, a Holy Week revival, whatever it is, we want to put it on the air, and we want people to fill up that space so that you will know that what you do is important. You know why? Because we do it better when we do it together. Always, you can go and follow us on social media, right? On Facebook, go ahead and press that thumbs up button. First of all, you got to search us out. It's The Culture Call. The Culture Call. Search us out on Facebook. And if you haven't done so, press the like button. And now you are a part of our online family there on Meta Facebook. We're glad that to have you. We post there. We put announcements there. When you send them in, we make sure everybody knows what's going on. Yeah, join our online family. You'll be glad that you did. Always, always, you can save this number, 205-752-4800. That's 205-752-4800. And you can call into the show and chat it up with us. And watch this. Hey, that app is so super bad. that it has a chat feature that if you want to comment and you can't call in, you can comment on the chat. And guess what? It gives it to me online while I am online and while I'm on the air, rather. And I can read your comments. It comes directly to the email address. Hey, I'm telling you, do that favor for me so that we can have an engaging conversation and you can be a part of it. I want to hear from you. Hey, do me a favor. Sit back and relax. Grab you some coffee. Maxwell House of Starbucks. You know how we do it here. And if you don't like coffee, you can always get you some herbal tea. Chamomile if you're trying to calm down. Green tea if you're trying to get a little caffeine kick going toward lunch. And hibiscus. That's right. I told you that is our fix-all tea for the season for your diabetes, your high blood, your cholesterol, whatever you got. Hibiscus will address it. Get you a little stevia, get you a little cup. It's a red fruity tea, kind of tart, but I promise you, it is a wonder-working tea. Do that. Maybe coffee or tea are not your things. Well, then guess what? Get you some spring or alkaline water. That's right. Hydrate that body. Detox those cells. Wake them up, shake them up. That's right. And let's get into the culture. It's going to be a great day. Listen, we are talking about, again, education on the culture call. And I think it is so very important that we lean into this. And when I say lean in, I mean that we have to really understand what's at stake for our students in our country, in our state, rather, and our country with regards to education. Education is the key to the future. I can't say that enough, and that may sound redundant to you, but I'm going to say it until somebody believes it. I'm going to say it until we properly fund, that we properly devise curriculum for our schools, that we properly staff our schools, and that every child who wants to be educated is educated. I'm going to keep screaming it from the top of my lungs. Hey, I'm telling you. That if we don't have and don't focus on education, then it does something to the intelligence and the civilization of a population, right? Because it is culture call. Understand this, that people that are primarily educated, and I'm talking about academically and just educated to various cultures and various ideologies, perspectives, theories, etc., right? When we deal with an educated populace, it helps people to be able to navigate nuances of life. It helps people to make qualified and evidence-based decisions in life. Because guess what? That we have to have a sound mind, the text says, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind, right? And that means that God, he himself, intends for us to watch this word, think. He intends for us to educate ourselves, that our psychology is not disconnected from our spirituality. And a lot of times, especially in the South, we believe in spirituality, and sometimes we don't pay attention to our psychology, our mentality, our intellectual faculty, because, hey, Jesus is going to fix it, and God's going to do everything. And what we find out is that is what we call in theological circles superfluous sovereignty, because what you're doing now is relying on God to think for you when he has given you the capacity to have a healthy mind, right? And one of the texts that I use when I'm talking about education is when Jesus was dealing with that demoniac in the tomb of the Gadareans, and the Bible describes the end of that particular deliverance or that particular experience encounter with that the young man was clothed and in his right mind, right? And so the element of true spirituality is that you have a right mind, right? That's you know, right there it's sitting right there. I mean, I don't know how better to explain it. That an evidence that you have prime spirituality, that you I believe it's Clay Evans, the late Reverend Dr. Clay Evans says, have you got good religion, right? Certainly, Lord. The evidence of good religion is that it is coupled with a right mind, a sound mind, a mind that can think, a mind that can choose, a mind that understands and knows how to connect the dots in life, right? And that is a part of being educated, right? There are some things that are common sense in terms of that flow out of the instinctual nature of being alive, right? We are educated. Nobody has to send us to school to know when we touch fire, it's going to be hot. Or when we, you know, we touch water, put our hands in water, the aspect of our hands getting wet. It's not, you know, we don't have to go to school for that. Those are things that flow out of the nature of our humanity experiencing the world. But then there are other levels of education and knowledge that needs to be gained. Why? Because, glad that you asked, because it is in that sense that we begin to understand that there's a world that, first of all, number one, exists that we need to know about, that we clearly need to know about. Number two, not only is there a world that we need to know about, but there is a world that we live in, and there's a world that we don't live in. There's worlds outside of the comfortable context in which we find our lives, our residents, our families, our schools. There's a whole world out there, right? Yes, we are in the United States, and if you've only been to Alabama, right across you drive a few miles, there's Mississippi, that's a different culture. Drive a few miles, that's Louisiana, that's a different culture. Drive a few more miles, that's Texas, right? And then you go to Oklahoma, Arkansas, right? And so we have a certain level of you know, cultural sensibility in the South Central, right? But when you go up north, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Rhode Island, Connecticut, those, they have another sensibility. Massachusetts, they have a different sensibility than that of the South, right? But what education does, it gives you the opportunity to expand your knowledge base, even though you may have not traveled those places before, right? It gives you to understand the connection between science and math, right? It gives you the understanding of math being applied and connected to the arts or to music, right? Rhythm, time, signature, rest, all of those different speeds, tempo, all of those things. You get to see that the world is not so individual and disconnected. Education shows us that we live in a communal, a corporate environment where I learn as I observe the other, right? That I learn about me and I learn about them, right? And then I learn how to coexist. I learn how to be a part of, watch this word, community, because education is a communal word. Let me say it again. Education is a communal word. Right? We don't go to school by ourselves. You know, I get people that homeschool, all of that. And my concerns is that when a parent comes to me and says, well, Bishop, I'm going to homeschool my children because I don't want them in that school system. I said, cool. And you're thinking that the only education that they receive when they go to school is reading, writing, and arithmetic. But there is a whole socialization skill, right? That they need to know more than their mom and their daddy in the walls of their house. That what public school gives them, or school period gives them, is an education on social graces, on society, on what it means to be a civilian connected to other people, right? They get to learn that my actions literally affect other people. You know, when we were growing up and in school, our teacher used to say, if someone did anything bad, the good got to suffer with the bad, right? And that, you know, they might get the brunt of the punishment, but still, they'll say, well, since that person talks, nobody's going to recess. What? And we used to be like, that's not fair. And they would teach us a lesson in communal responsibility. Well, then when you see your friend doing something, you need to say something so he won't punish all of you, right? You know, and it's just simple lessons, simple education, right? And I've been talking about this whole idea of innovative education, this whole idea that, you know, if we are not careful, we're going to be doing the same old things, the same old way, and the generation, the next generation, or the coming generation, rather, is going to disconnect because they're exposed to more. So if they're exposed to more technology, they're exposed to more ways of living, they're exposed to more lifestyles, they're exposed more to more than just Christian, right? And that's the truth, right? When I grew up, all I knew was Christian. And I had when I was a child, you know, I knew we were Christians, and that's what, because that's what my family was raised as, right? And I knew we were Pentecostal, right? And good. And then I had family members who were Baptists. Then I had family members who were Reformed Episcopal or United Methodist and stuff. And so I started understanding other people's dynamic, right? when my mom and dad would let me go stay with cousins, stay with aunts and uncles, and they had a different denominational feature, I started learning about that. But then when I went even more to college, I started understanding and was educated that there is Islam, there is Buddhism, there is Confucianism, there is so many other kinds of religions rather than my Christianity, right? And that was, I knew about different denominations, but I didn't know about, if I can say it like this, other religions. College was an education for me, right? And so, and in that context of education, I want you today to expand just beyond reading, writing, and arithmetic and the basic pedagogies, even sometimes the advanced learnings that we learn in the subjects of language, math, and the other humanities. There's history, and history teaches us, right? Yeah, I know, right? And that's what they're trying to get rid of out of the school. I, for the life of me, do not, I do know why they want to do that. And will they admit it? Absolutely not. They're never going to admit why, but history teaches us, right? This is why we sit with our parents and our grandparents. This is just a simple lesson. Why? And we ask them questions because they've got experience. History is experience. History is how others have navigated the world in which they live, right? The scripture teaches us that that which was written aforetime was written for our learning so that through the scriptures we may have what? Hope and expectation. We can see their lives and not and either pattern our lives or not pattern our lives, vector or in another trajectory. We can go in a different direction, right? But it is the Bible is a historical book as well. I know we laud it as a spiritual book, but at the end, the beginning of the day, it is still a historical book. It teaches us history and the history in certain parts of the world, a certain part of the culture, you know, at that time. It teaches us various worlds that existed and coexisted at the same time, right? That the Canaanite world existed with the Hebrew world, which existed with the Sumerian world, which existed with the Egyptian world, right? And so all of these worlds in the scriptures collide together, right? And give us this profound and provocative narrative that causes us to educate ourselves in a way that perhaps we didn't really understand, right? That is one of the things, the brilliant things about America in terms of education is that we have an opportunity to learn so much more than we avail ourselves for. And because there is always somebody and somebodies, can I say it like that, that's trying to change, hold back, twist history, twist reality in a particular way, right? That it shields them from wrongdoing, it you know, all of that. It causes them to see life in a different kind of way, right? And so it's amazing that when we we allow ourselves to be some of the least educated people on the planet when we have so much opportunity to really be light years advanced in the areas of educating ourselves, in the areas of understanding other people, right? I want you to understand this, that the not understanding other people, cultures, lifestyles, nuances is a deliberate decision. It is not an issue of lack of exposure. It is an issue, as what the scripture says, it says knowledge that is rejected, right? My people perish for what? A lack of knowledge. And then it says, because you have rejected knowledge, he says, I have also rejected you and your children. The issue is that knowledge paves the way to the future. Knowledge gives us an understanding of how we are to navigate this world. Yeah, that's what knowledge does. It gives us an opportunity to see the world and how it is forming and how it is changing. Right. One of the great things that my mom and dad would do is when I would go over, even as an older guy, even as an adult, is that they would, you know, they would teach us by heart. And so it was always, I knew every time I went over to my mom's house, I was going to learn something. I was going to be educated about something. It could be about our history of civil rights. It could be our history, church history. It could be our family history. It could be, you know, our African history. I was going to learn something. Something, because education, you know, I could ask her a question about our family and then she would go research it. She would go ask somebody, you know, all of these things, because I learned as a child. And when I became an adult, that education helps us learn how to walk this life, right? It helps us even walk by faith, right? It's important, Culture Call, that we begin to understand strategies for education. And on Tuesday, I talked about how we must need focus in educating our children and understanding our strategies and our resources, our human resources, our asset values that we have, right? That we have students, we have teachers, we have administrators, we have principals, we have, you know, all kinds of information in books. We've got computers. Now we've got ChatGPT and AI. We've got all these things. We've got a plethora of assets that we can use to innovatively educate ourselves so that we will not be late, last, and or lost in this world. And when it's seemingly, and I'll tell you, it is a feature of society to always promote and give platform to the ignorant, right? The television stations, the news reporter, all of us know that person who they're interviewing. We know they don't know what they're talking about. We know that they're not educated, but there's a particular folly that is connected to ignorance. But now ignorance is being platformed in a way. Watch this, on the same platform as knowledgeable intelligence, as education. So you can't even tell the same thing. You can't even see the same modality. You can't even see that. The different modality. You can't even see that. Yeah, that's not. Yeah, that's light, and this is dark. That's true. That's a false. We can't because now you don't have to be educated. You just got to have a mouth to talk. You just got to want to share. Somebody sticks a mic in your face and now you're ready. You're ready to be like, yo, I got something to say. No, you don't have you don't have anything to say. Educate yourself, right? They'll feature comedians and they'll feature comics and they'll do all the plethora, all of these kinds of things. They'll do all of that. Right. But they're not even understanding what it means to be an educated person that's speaking from a knowledgeable place. And we platform people and we use them for our folly. But sometimes people will use them and manipulate them to deceive swaths of a population to begin to get them to agree with this perspective that really is just does not work. And so what I want to feature today is I'm going to talk to a young man, a brilliant young man, Mario Cooper. He's executive director, I believe, of Elevate West Alabama. It's an educational, inspirational, aspirational program that is over for our youth and our teens to help them navigate life to gain a big broadband of opportunity to educate themselves, to better themselves. And we're going to have a little conversation today, and I'm super excited about it because, again, you all know my wheelhouse is for education for our young people. You know, I believe the children are the future. Yeah, all of that. Yes, Culture Call, I believe that. And so we've got to figure out innovative ways. We're going to be talking about that. Why? Because I believe the church has a part in that as well. And we're going to talk about that today as well. The church has a part, especially for our community, as it was in the beginning, educating our young people, educating the generations to come to promote education. And I'm not just talking about biblical education, biblical studies. I'm talking about education from all areas, right? That's important. That is important. when we couldn't go to school, when we couldn't go to their schools, when it was illegal for us to write or to do whatever, the black church was a mechanism of resistance by teaching. They utilized the church to teach. Even white churches opened up schools to teach because education was the key and is the key to the future, right? And even the slave, the enslaved in this country knew that we better educate ourselves according to what's going on here, because if we do not, we will always be enslaved. And not only that, here's the part I love. When you really get into it, they were like, I've got to educate myself so that my children and my grandchildren will have a better future than I have, so that we can learn from the mistakes of the past and progress toward a bright future. So I'm going to be talking to Mario Cooper, and he's going to be here. We're going to chat it up real, really good, and I am excited about this conversation. Tuscaloosa is doing big things. Some of the stuff we don't really know about because it's not necessarily publicized as much as it should, but you know how I am. I'm going to use my platform to elevate and to educate and enlighten our community and all of Tuscaloosa that want to see the brilliant things. I don't think that growth happens simply in the dark. I believe that you got to put some sunlight on it, right? You got to shine a light, hey, so that photosynthesis can be created and what is growing can eat. And so that's what we're going to do. Talk about Elevate West Alabama. I am super excited. So I need y'all to keep it locked right here with your boy on the Culture Call. Hey, we'll be right back after this. Praise 93.3 FM 790 WTSK. This is a world premiere. And we are back. Culture Call. We are back right here. Hey, on Praise 93.3 FM 790 WTSK. And I'm telling you, we're having an amazing day already. I told you this week, we're going to be talking about innovative education strategies right here in Tuscaloosa and even in the South region. And I am super excited, because I believe, yes, again, our children are the future, right? So we got to make sure that we do everything that we can do to make it happen in our city, in our areas. So, because guess what? Tomorrow is coming fast. And if we really be honest with ourselves, tomorrow is already here. And so I've got to make sure that we have the right discussions, bring the right people on who I feel have their hands on the pulse of what education is happening, what's going on in education right now and in the future. And today I told y'all I was going to have a feature with me today. And I have known him for years, years, years. He's gotten older than me. Wow. He's got more gray. Wow. Man, I'm telling you, but he's a brilliant guy. And man, he got his degree and master's and everything. And he is now the executive director of this amazing new program in Tuscaloosa, Elevate West Alabama. It's an educational, aspirational, inspirational kind of mentorship program that he is over. And he's connected to schools in the area. And I'm going to let you tell him a little bit about that when we bring him home. Y'all welcome, Culture Call family, Mario Cooper. Hey, Coop.
What's going on, Bishop?
Man, I am doing great today. I'm so glad that you are on with me to talk about a subject that is so passionate to my heart, and that is educating our young people and devising innovative educational strategies for the future and how we actually move people to understand that what's at stake is our children's future. Absolutely. And that can be educational, informational, inspirational, mentorship, coaching, all of that kind of stuff. Absolutely. And so I just want to start the conversation off by just talking about the program, how and how you got connected to it.
Well, listen, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to come and share what we're doing in the city. And as you always know, I appreciate everything that you've done. And for me personally, and I just appreciate this platform. Elevate West Alabama is an organization that is actually 42 years old.
Okay.
Well, Elevate, let me just say that, Elevate holistically. It was birthed out of Denver by a guy who had just a heart for missions. Mm-hmm. And he was going abroad, went overseas doing missions, but then got the conviction to say, hey, there are things that are needed in our community and in our cities and in our state. And he came home and started what was initially called Uplift.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it progressed to what it is now called Elevate. We are just an affiliate of 20 other 21 other affiliates that serves over 108 schools, serving on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, annually, 13,000 students across the country. But our mission simply is to build long-term, life-changing relationships with Tuscaloosa's youth, equipping them to thrive and contribute to their community. And we do that by four areas of program. The unique thing about us is we're in the schools every single day teaching accredited classes. So
okay.
This is not just a mentoring program where we're just going up to the schools and teaching. They actually get a grade for it.
Okay.
It is a well-thought-out curriculum that has been proven with rubrics and all those type of things. And so we do accredited classes, adventure, mentorship, after-school mentorship, and college and career prep. So our curriculum is set for high school students all the way from ninth grade until they graduate.
Right.
By the time they graduate, if they go through our program, the way our motto is set, they will leave high school with a plan whether to go to college, go get a start in a career, or go serve their country.
That is great. Now, how in the world did you get connected to it? Because I'm hearing the innovation in it already, because right now when I was in school, I'm not going to date myself, but that's what they used to do. They used to give us either a career path, the path to the military, taking the ASVAB test, bringing in recruiters, you know, bringing in college recruiters and all that. And they've in some areas they've seemed to get gotten away of that. And it was always helping us track and map, you know, track and map.
Yeah.
And I think they did that when we started in middle school. You know, it was just kind of, let's get these kids, let's track them and map them. And I see that Elevate is mirroring that programming. And so, what made you say, okay, this is the job for me?
Oh, man. So, as you know, I've had my tenure for 18 plus years. I've been in youth services, youth ministry, in the aspect of ministry. This role was presented to me from a civic role that was so foreign to me, because I knew how to serve in the capacity of ministry.
Right.
And which is so needed, which there's a segment that we have. We can't do that. We do that through more collaborating with churches and things of that nature.
Right.
But when I heard about what this program does and how we were able to impact students on an everyday basis, and as much as, you know, we did it through Bible study, we did it through, you know, going to school to their games, going to have lunch with them.
Right.
This is actually a class where you're teaching character skills and life skills and things of that nature that is so important. And so we do it in a holistic way to bring transformation to students who may not be exposed to certain avenues. So it allowed us to do college trips, and it allowed us the resources, not just through government funding, but through community funding, that will allow us to expand the reach of the students within themselves and within their communities.
Okay.
And so when I saw what that did and what my job was initially, I thought I was coming in just the same way that I did it in regards to youth ministry, was teaching and things of that nature, but that's not my job.
Right.
And as much as you know me, I love to teach.
Right.
I still teach on a collegiate level, but this, my job is to simply hire teachers who have the heart for young people and who can continue to have a heart to build relationships with young people. And so that's my job, to pour into teachers who are on the front line.
Right.
So when I saw that part of me that was the opportunity, listen, I was like, I think this is for me.
Absolutely.
This is for me. And I've been in it now. I started 2 years ago, May. So it's coming up on 2 years, and it's been great holistically.
Okay, good, great. Because part of what, you know, they just had a referendum here to increase money for city schools, and I don't know how that affected you in terms of Elevate. But talk about the collaboration. What is the receptivity of with the district and the not just the teachers, because I'm sure the teachers and schools, local schools, appreciate the help that you provide, but what has been the embrace from the entire school district, you know, in terms of how the program is going?
So, first of all, that's who we are.
Right.
We have a mantra that says, no one gets there alone.
Yeah.
And what that means for us is we partner and collaborate with those who are aligned with what we do. We partner with the schools. We partner with the parents. And then we have other collaborations, maybe through a youth ministry, through a church, through other organizations who have the passion for youth and the youth that we serve. I think it is so important that you have those nuances because it brings diversity within our culture, which is so needed.
Right.
I was at a leadership conference maybe a few weeks ago, and Malcolm Gladwell was talking about diversity. And I think he expanded the conversation, not to say that we need to go there in regards to the conversation. What I mean is when we think about diversity, initially it is about gender.
Right.
It is about race.
Correct.
But what he expanded it to was talking about cohesiveness and coherency, where we develop a culture of diversity within. What that means for me is finding the diversity within our culture, within our community, within even those that look like us.
Sure.
The challenge has been throughout a lot of, he talks about the challenge has been throughout a lot of organizations and companies and even schools is a lot of times they hire the same kind of person, like-minded person. And as a result of that, you only get one particular perspective.
Right.
You don't see a real diverse culture within the schools, within education, with things of that nature. So what we have done is we've come alongside of the school. We're not asking for any money.
Right.
We're not asking you for any resources. The only thing we need is a classroom.
That's all you need.
That's all we need is a classroom. And what we do, we teach our curriculum that is approved by the state education. So we function through an MOU. And most of our resources, believe it or not, have come from the community.
Right.
We have amazing donors. We do get grant funding. We try to stay away. And as a result of what's going on now, we try to stay away from federal funding.
Correct.
We do have some. We just got recently approved. Our organization just got recently approved of a $2.9 million contract, I believe, holistically for all affiliates that's dispersed. But that is few and far between that we go for grant funding and things of that nature. Our stories and our students' impact is the thing that lead those that want to give back to us. And I'll be honest, who's doing the work and on the front line is not me. It's the teacher mentor who are in the classroom every single day. So our motto is we hire three teachers to every one classroom.
Wow.
And that gives, again, diversity within the classroom where they can each student can see themselves as a mentor, in their mentors. But also, not only that, we are a diverse class within itself. So we take students from a 1.8 GPA all the way through a 3.8 GPA because we see that there are challenges from both perspectives that they can help each other.
And that makes so much sense. You know, that makes so much sense. You know, I just listening to you talk about the diversity and how cultural competence is really important in being able to educate and to empower and to help guide the students in paths. And from 1.8 all the way up to 3.8,
absolutely,
those are different experiences. And each and every child deserves their experience to be acknowledged. And I think that's one of the things that I think is really innovative because, you know, regular public school, you just come in and you adapt to the teacher.
Yeah.
And what it sounds like to me is what Elevate West Alabama does is that we bring in teachers that learn how to be competent to the students.
Absolutely.
To help them for best results, you know? And I think that's really important.
Yeah,
and you said something really powerfully about collaboration and not necessarily relying on federal funds to do so. And how generous people are. So are you finding that as a community at large, school and otherwise, that they really have a desire to see education build and go forward, to have different strategies, and they embracing different ideas? Because that's not what we hear on the news, right?
Yeah,
there is a whole lot of getting history out, getting all this stuff out. But
are
you finding that the local communities, because that's where it happens, is embracing Elevate in their mission in terms of being diverse, being speaking to the levels of children where they find themselves, because the 1.8 can become a 3.8.
Absolutely.
If you treat them in a way that recognizes their deficiencies and their challenges, not as anathema, but as a platform where we can start right here. But Inrahe, are you finding an embrace from the community at large?
So let me start right here. I am the product of that.
Okay.
And I'm not saying this because you're sitting here. I was a student who did not believe I was smart.
I remember.
A student, right. A college student who did not see even the value of education, things of that nature, because of what I saw in my community. Mm-hmm. I saw men who went to work, I grew up in Detroit, as you know, mm-hmm. and I saw men who went to work, mm-hmm. but they came home broken. Mm-hmm. I've seen my godfather, who just recently passed, who worked at he retired however many years, mm-hmm. but I also saw him die of some of the things, complications from the plant the
right.
chemicals and things of that nature.
Right.
It was seeing men like yourself, and that was in the church, that helped me understand that I don't have to just go do this type of work.
Right.
Not taking anything away from
sure.
it, but I learned hard work.
Right.
For me, I say this, you gave being smart a swag.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And that's, I say that that's where the collaborating part comes in mm-hmm. for our students. Mm-hmm. It is important for me. Again, my goal is to make sure that the program expands and have the look of the model of the Elevates Way.
Right.
And while it's serving the students of Tuscaloosa, which
correct.
Is different from serving the students in Detroit.
Detroit,
different
right.
from Chicago.
Right.
Which they all have their own
right.
affiliates.
Exactly.
But to see people that looks like them in a diverse way. If you understand what our students see and what they gravitate to,
right.
are the things that they see on social media,
right.
things they see. So majority of them want to be a rapper, majority of them want to be a baller, and things of that nature. And they don't even understand that if you do the research, it's only 1% in those fields that are rappers, mm-hmm. ballers, and things of that nature. But let me show you an African-American architect.
Yeah.
Let me show you an African-American engineer.
Yeah.
And we have been awesome. The community within itself has been open to come and speak to our students.
Great.
And once they see it, they invest in it.
Good.
And that's been the kind of the model that we've seen when they see what we're doing. So again, our mission is, the latter part of our commission is to equipping them to thrive and contribute back to their community.
Right.
We do that. Our 10th graders, what we're teaching them in class, they have the opportunity to go and cross-mentor 5th graders.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
we teach them through a 9-week training, do a big ceremony for it, so they can, and we call them what's called Little Elevate Mentors.
Mm, right.
And they go back into one of the local elementary schools and mentor the 5th graders on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for that kid? It gives them leadership.
Absolutely.
It allows them the opportunity to stand before people and speak and things of that nature. Now, granted, again, we're dealing with students who are challenged on two different perspectives. 1.8 students, they are wild. If I could be
right.
quite frank, you know, they don't mind. It's just directed in a negative way.
Right.
They are influenced by gangs. They're
right.
influenced by the things in their community.
Mm-hmm.
A 3.8 student, they can get the grades, but they're shy.
Right.
They don't know how to talk in front of people. And a lot of times, it's the family makeup. They don't have the resources to do
right.
things that we do, such as take them on college visits and things of that nature. And so, and even that was a collaboration. One of your frat brothers, his wife, LaMonica Little.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every year, she's been gracious enough to implement our students. So we just pay for our students to go. She plans it out. That's something that takes a load off of me
wow.
and our
that's
but
great.
Allows our students. So we've taken at least 50 students to college visits. This is their first experience on an HBCU because we're taking them to HBCUs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it just gives that student hope and passion. Now, here's the myth. I'll say it like this. A lot of our students or in our community, we assume that parents are not involved. We assume that fathers are not involved. And what we're finding, that's not necessarily the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It is because these parents need help.
Yeah.
Because they're working 2 and 3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have time to focus on their education.
Yes.
They don't have time to spend time with them and take them because they're working.
Because they're at work, right.
Exactly. And what we have been privileged to do is make sure they eat before they go home. Take them out and do things that their parents are not able to do with them to give them that full exposure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents never been to college, so they don't know how to fill out college
applications, sure,
and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So we've come alongside to be that partner with them, right, to help them raise their child. And that's why it's long-term.
Right.
Long-term will bring transformation, not just, you know, here, popping in here and there. It's long-term. So once our students start with us in the 9th grade, our desire is for them to stay with us all the way to the 12th grade. And by that third year, you see full transformation. We've seen students who has never been on the honor roll now on the honor roll because,
wow,
our teacher mentors are going around to these teachers and saying, hey, this student missing this class, and, you know, how we can challenge,
right,
our students.
Right.
We want to make sure that they get their classwork because that's where a lot of our students are failing, chronic absentee,
yeah,
and not turning in their work.
Wow, wow, wow. Yo, Culture Call, this man is spitting facts, and I'm telling you, I'm loving it. Hey, y'all keep it locked right here. We got more with Mario Cooper on the top of the hour. You don't want to miss it right here on the Culture Call with yours truly, L. Spencer Smith. Hey, keep it right here locked. Praise 93.3 FM 790 WTSK.
This is the world premiere.
And we are back. It's the top of the hour, 11 a.m. and some change, right here on the Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith. Praise 93.3 FM and 790 WTSK. And, of course, we are yet here with Mario Cooper, the executive director of Elevate West Alabama. Hey, and we are having an amazing conversation. Want to send a shout out to all of our 11 a.m. listeners. You are our second hour listeners. Thank you for joining us. And I hope and pray that you buckle up. We're having a wonderful conversation about innovative educational strategies here in Tuscaloosa and West Alabama and what we can do to better prepare our children to apprehend success in the future. You know, success is a plan. It's just not a statement. It's a plan. And so we are grateful to have this conversation. Coop, I'm so glad that you are here with me today,
yes,
man.
Yes,
and you have been spouting some amazing information that I want to continue our conversation. You said something on right before we went to the break about, you know, the misconception and or the myth of the absentee black male role model with regards to the family. And you gave, you know, you gave the reasons why, because fathers got to work, you know, they got to provide for their families. And even the parental contact and even their participation within the educational process, we don't take an understanding, or many don't take an understanding that, you know, in our community specifically, that they're working 1 and 2 and 3 jobs, you know, trying to make ends meet, but they are present when they can be, and they do what they can do. I want to talk and kind of vector toward you giving us a little bit more of your understanding the importance of black male role models, because, you know, mama's going to show up, but and it's the myth that dad doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, my dad did. You know, and but they didn't think that he did. They didn't even know my dad when he walked in, and we look alike. You know what I'm saying? So what do you believe black male role models, their significant part in the Elevate program, and not only just the Elevate program, but just in the educational process right here in Tuscaloosa?
Oh, man, so important. So important.
Yeah.
A lot of the young men that we serve, that's in our program, are just young men who are misguided.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I want to get too ahead of myself, it is not just for the young male, but it's also for the young lady as well.
Yeah, sure.
It is important that, and that's why we create the kind of the class of moms and uncles and aunties,
mm-hmm,
in that type of vibe, because these are young men who are challenged in their identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's an old saying, I know we've kind of canceled Kanye West, but the old Kanye said that the only rich man I saw was a dope man.
Right.
Or you had a wicked jump shot.
Yeah.
In other words, what he was saying, I only wanted to be like what I saw.
Right.
What? So the importance of having African-American males in the classroom, a part of the education, whether you be a father, whether you be a mentor, mm-hmm. it is you are the look of success for that young man.
Right.
You are, it is a Search Institute, I believe, did a study on the importance of just having an adult mm-hmm. Person who cares in the life of young people, how their success is at a better rate than someone who feels that they don't have. That's why it's important for us every semester, we do a student impact report
mm-hmm.
and we survey the students. How was your teacher mentor? Did they spend time?
Right.
Did you have one-on-ones with them? We gauge that based off of what they say. We look at their grades. We look at the type of student that they are becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And the more students that where our teacher mentors do one-on-ones with, the more that they come to our activities, mm-hmm. the more they are involved, right. those are the students that we see thrive
right.
than the ones who doesn't kind of show up and things of that nature. And we have that challenge as well. It shows us that it is important for adults and males, females, African-American males who look like them,
mm-hmm.
Who understand their struggles, who understand the things that they are going through and can talk their language, can speak to them. One of the unique things recently that we just had at Central is Vince Dooley came, who's an architect in the city, and I knew he graduated from Central, mm-hmm. which brought the correlation for them.
Right.
I didn't know he was the one who actually drew the architect work and drew the new school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was unique for them to be talking
to the
actual individual who drew the school from an architectural standpoint
uh-huh. right.
that they're sitting in.
Right.
And to him, for them to see that he's actually a graduate, he sat where they were sitting
right.
and things that he's a part of their community. He had the same struggles. He's gone to, he's graduated from a school that we've taken him to.
Yeah, Tuskegee.
Exactly.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so we've taken him to Tuskegee. So that did their hearts. It was a conversation
right.
even after he left, and where Sam, one of our TMs, had the students to do a background, not just what school you want to go to, how much does it cost to go there?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
did
yeah.
the research.
Research.
They had to present that, and you had several who did theirs on Tuskegee
yeah.
because of that correlation. And so those are the things to show you that it is important that African-American males are part of. And then, listen, we can challenge our boys and girls, but we can challenge mainly our boys a little bit tougher. Think about the coaches that
yeah,
be in your
yeah,
life.
Yeah,
think
yeah.
about those who on a from a physical standpoint, you know, a lot of times our coaches are trying to help us matriculate through sports and things of that nature. But what if we have them in our classroom challenging us in our mind?
Right.
You know,
right.
challenging us to show up and
right.
challenging us to dress. My youngest daughter, Myla, she's 17 now, and she wants to be a teacher. She wants to be in education.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it is because of former teachers.
Right.
I remember one in elementary school, they had this 50s day, and she wanted to wear her hair just like her teacher,
mm-hmm.
who wore her hair like that all the time
mm-hmm.
because of the impact that this particular teacher had on her. That's the same way we can have that impact on young men. So
right.
I think it's so important.
I think, I mean, and you bring up a good segue in the conversation, because it is that mentorship. It's the representation, I think, that Elevate is seeking to bring, that oftentimes we miss, that is so important, especially when we're talking about cultural-based competent education,
absolutely.
Which what you provide, it is that seeing Vince
mm-hmm.
and understanding yeah. Yeah. that somebody like him could literally be somebody like me.
Exactly.
I mean, because that's I'm sitting in his vision. I'm sitting at his school. I'm
that's
sitting... And he don't come from the palatial, you know, he don't come from the north side or yeah. down 69 or where people have in their minds that it's more affluent or,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but he comes from, you know, the right off of District 7 out of that area.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and he's a product of this school.
Yep.
And so you know, for them to have representation. How important is representation to those black boys, those black girls, and really moving them from, as you said, Kanye said, the richest man he knew was the dope dealer, yeah, which is a reality.
Yeah. It is.
I need everybody to understand that's a reality.
To this day, this is what they see in their community. This is how they act. This is how they respond.
Right.
We have so many students. I tell you, we have our model, if you will, or it's called dosage.
Mm-hmm.
Dosage is when you are trying to impact. For example, when you go to the doctor, they check to see how much you can handle for this dosage for your healing.
Right.
And so if your body can handle that much, they'll give it to you. But what they do is build you up to that dosage until the success to your whole. It's the same way we're doing. We start our ninth graders off with a dosage of Elevate. And we continue to do it every single day. Now, middle school may not need it every day.
Right.
We go to them probably once a week.
Oh, okay.
We go to the fifth graders probably once a week.
Mm-hmm.
But the appeal is not us. The appeal is the same students that they see in their neighborhoods.
Right.
So it brings accountability on that 10th grader to say, okay, I just went and talked to them about leadership.
So
but then
be a leader.
In my neighborhood, I'm not exemplifying that. Then that, because you know, a fifth grader don't care what he says.
Right. I thought.
Yeah, you said this in my class.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
And so that brings accountability. And so I think it's important that we continue that model, continue to appeal and show them we'll bring in other like-minded people from different cultures.
Right.
But it's so important for representation because of what they're challenged with in their communities. That was probably the first time they had ever seen an African-American architect.
Sure.
And I was thinking about Myla and Mario and I, we were sitting talking, and I asked them, I said, do you guys, we were watching this amazing Netflix documentary called Stamped from the Beginning.
Wonderful.
The book is amazing.
Amazing,
as well.
Right.
And the author starts the book, and it was throughout the document. It says, it asks the question, what's wrong with black people?
Right.
You know? And the only thing that's wrong, what he says is the only thing that's wrong with black people is basically someone told you something was wrong.
Right.
There's nothing wrong.
Nothing.
And the problem is we're going to only identify with what we see.
Exactly.
So if I only see poverty, I'm going to
identify with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I only see the only means to be successful is a basketball or football or drugs or rapping about the most negative things, and that's what we were talking about. It's amazing that I asked them to name five successful and famous people. Majority of people that they named were ballers and rappers.
Mm-hmm.
I think Myla ended up naming Michelle Obama and maybe some other, but the majority were. And so it shows you that's who they see.
Right.
And so if that is who I see, that's what I'm going to gravitate.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. And it's exposure. It's exposure.
Yes,
it's
yes,
exposure
yes.
to, you know, in other cultures, because again, I studied this in other cultures, they expose them. And not to take anything from rappers and ballers, right?
Absolutely.
Entertainers,
absolutely.
None of that.
Absolutely.
But other cultures expose their children to not those people.
Exactly.
They expose them to the businessman, to the lawyer, to the judge, to the doctor, to the architect, to all of those people, because they're trying to create in their mind a frame of reference of the direction we want you to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we, especially in social media, when you see on in urban areas, they're only promoting, you know, success through entertainment or sports. And here it is, they don't even know who John Hope Bryant is. They have no idea and no clue to who that is.
Exactly.
And so when you're talking about education and representation, you know, and how you've been able to expose these students, what has been the success rate in terms of at the end of the year, where when you started with them, I don't know what I want to be, Mr. Cooper. Yeah, yeah. And then when you finish with them, I think I want to be of this, of that, of that. That what has been what you, and I mean, I know you don't have statistics or numerics, and then you may have them. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
What's the success rate of what, you know, in transformation, just based upon representation alone?
So let me talk about Central. Again, we're still a new affiliate, meaning we're just recently coming out of our launch phase. Our launch phase is we're getting ready to complete a total of 4 semesters.
Okay.
Which is, again, new affiliate. We're getting ready to go. We're now in our building stage. And in our research, what we see is that, well, let me say, for me, I had to become patient with my desires and what I want the program to look like and how I want to see. And I have amazing coaches that keep me on the pace of that to make sure that we're not building so fast where in the next year, because we are getting ready to reach a crucial year, our second year, and a lot of affiliates are challenged in their funding, in their schooling, and all those type of things that will cause detriment to the entire program. Well, in our launching phase, we have been just excited to see students who came to school with attitudes change their attitude.
Wow.
We have been, we've seen students who, I'm telling you, like, I'm not telling you what I heard, I'm telling you what I saw, that would not smile.
Wow.
Because of some of the challenges that they're dealing with. And our, again, our goal is to develop long-term relationships, deep relationships. So then now we have had children that we've had some interesting conversations about things that are going on in their homes and what they've seen in certain encounters that we've had to challenge them with that has caused their reluctancy for them to even be open or trust us as adults. And so that part, just that, as I said, the dosage of seeing students who did not smile, who I remember it's one kid, I love him to death, but he was a challenge in his ninth grade. He's in the 10th grade now. He would literally come to school, come to class, and go to sleep. And we are, how they train us and how they train the TMs, we can't just fuss. We can't just come with a discipline in a very aggressive way. We have to challenge. So that's why we do one-on-ones. That's why we'll take that kid and say, hey, come on, let's go talk. Let's go walk the halls.
Right.
Things of that nature. And when you found out what was actually going on, it'll give you a level of grace for the student.
In context, right.
Now, I mean, and the student, bad attitude, all that. Now, yesterday, they just came from a mission trip. He is at everything. And how do you know a student falls in love with a program if they show up in the summer?
Oh, definitely.
And this kid showed up every week.
Wow.
We took him to Six Flags, we took him to Alabama Adventure and all those type of things. He came to the sessions. He came to we took him fishing. And at fishing, we say that the world is a learning, a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take him fishing, but then do a round, sit him down, talk, and just talk about. He shows up at all of that. Now that student is one of the biggest advocates for our program. He goes around, hey, you need to change your schedule. You need this class. He goes up to other students. And he's just now in his second year. And just the transformation in that. I cannot imagine what this kid would be if he stays with us until he graduates.
Man, that is so great. I wanted to ask that question because of this question that You're having success with Elevate in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
How is it translating, however, to parents in the home? Because do you have to reboot every time they come back to you? Because maybe what you're teaching them at Elevate is not being reflected in the home. Have you had to have any one-on-one with parents? Or is that something that you all do as well?
Absolutely. You see it. There's still some relationship gaps that we're trying to partner with because we know that there's some challenges in the home. And so a grant that we just received will help us serve parents.
Wow.
So we'll have a program where it's called Elevate Parents. And How we're doing it is there going to be a census for you to come. There because you gotta. How do you get parents to show up?
Yeah,
that has
that's
been the
key,
whole
right.
goal. Mm-hmm. And so there are incentives, and we're doing training on that now. And we just recently got this grant that will help us implement programming, whether it be once a month or at least three times a semester, strictly for parents. And we've seen it work in other affiliates who did it even without the grant, just implementing their program. And so we're now doing training for that to help in those areas, because a lot of times it is, you got to remember, a lot of these ninth grade parents, they a lot of them, and I don't want to just say I got the numbers, the data, but a lot of them are the product of teenage pregnancy.
Sure they are.
Absolutely. And or again, just challenges holistically that they didn't know how to parent. They weren't parent.
Right.
And so our goal is to even invest in them. And so if we do our model correctly, our research says Elevate should impact the school with at least by 20%, mm-hmm. it would change the school's culture.
Wow.
If you change the school's culture, you'll change the community's culture.
Right.
So it's not a, like, when I first came in to Elevate, again, I've been in youth ministry for 18 years. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I came with a level of arrogancy.
Mm-hmm.
I came with a level of wanting to implement and things of that nature. And my our treasurer, who is very invested into Elevate, he said, hey, he took me out to breakfast and said, I need you to pump your brakes. He said, I need you to learn the culture of Elevate mm-hmm. before we innovate.
Mm-hmm.
He said, everything you're doing sounds good, but this is totally different. I guarantee you, if you learn our model mm-hmm. and by year three or four, innovation wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
And so I took that on, and it has been a journey for me, because again, for through ministry and church, we know what the end goal is in right. regards to their soul, and which is so important, but how can you win them in the culture of their spirituality when a lot of these students don't have food?
Right.
When a lot of these students don't are dealing with so many other things within their homes and things of that nature. And we've encountered those things. I just speak holistically. A lot of times it is not, that's not the case.
Right.
It is not that they don't have caring parents. It is their parents are trying to raise this child with three others.
Yeah, yeah. They're not the only child.
They're
yeah.
trying to do it with a minimum income.
Right.
They're trying to do it with so many other, and now granted, there are some challenges like that. And so our goal and our heart is to continue to partner. And that has been done successfully. We have some amazing parents that are, but we want to lean into that more in the coming years. And Elevate is going to help us do that so we can come with a plan.
That is wonderful. Yeah. Man, Coop, I appreciate you being with me today. I need to know, if I am a person listening, because I know I'm going to have a bunch of people hit me up, well, how can we help Elevate?
Absolutely.
Because it's not, absolutely. You know, again, I'm using this platform to specifically, you know, I don't want to sound deep because, you know, I don't do that kind of situation. But no, literally, okay. not here. The Spirit of the Lord.
Okay.
No, just to text him and see if he's available, because yeah. I know you're such a busy man. He probably more busy than me. But
absolutely not.
But how can we as the community help Elevate West Alabama? Because you're only at two schools now. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How can we help you expand that net, that base?
So, several ways. One, first of all, our webpage for you to get more information on who we are and what we're doing is elevatewestal.org. Again, mm-hmm. that's elevatewestal.org. We are a organization that looks for collaboration mm-hmm. With like-minded organizations. So we appreciate all the organizations within the city, and we've had several to collaborate with us, to assist us in so many other areas of resources and things of that nature. And so if you are an organization that wants to collaborate with us, we would love to see what you can offer based off of the things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
As we say, no one gets there alone. Right. So we're not in the competition with any other mentoring program. There are several other mentoring programs that is doing amazing work. I just believe and I know the work that we're doing can coincide and come aside whether with what other mentoring programs is doing, what the schools are doing. And so if you go to that website, that can help you kind of gauge how you can implement what you do. The other thing is you can resources. We're always looking for funding.
Right.
We are a nonprofit organization. And our majority of our funding comes through the community, and that is definitely not just our affiliate, but all affiliates across. We try to stay away from grant funding because of
what's happening right now.
The culture that we're in right now politically.
Right.
That's a whole other conversation.
Right.
And so if you want to give, you can go to that website and donate. We have several people who have committed to 3 years. So if you want to commit that way, or you can contact me directly by emailing me at mcooper@elevatewestal.org, mcooper@elevatewestal.org, to get on for more information, and I'll reach back out to you and set up a lunch, however you want to do to talk about Elevate. Can I shout out my team, though?
Absolutely.
So I want to get, because again, Bishop, I am just here to expand the program and make sure the program is being what our affiliate is supposed to. But I want to shout out Sam Crawford, Christian Lewis, and Alton James. They are the teacher mentors who are doing the work, who just as yesterday, they left their families. I believe it was Monday to go 2 days to do missions work where the pictures are amazing, the work that they've done. And so I want to shout out to say thank you guys for the work that you're doing. And we would love to connect with you guys. We would love for you to give, donate to our organization. And however else, just email me and we'll go.
That sounds like a winner. Man, Coop, I appreciate you being right here. Yes, telling us more about Elevate West Alabama. I knew the Lord said to text you and get you on for this week's show of Innovative Educational Strategies. And I hope, Coach Call, you have heard something that inspires you. Check them out if you got students at Central or University Place, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Check them out. See how you can get your kid. If they qualify to get in the program, I don't know it. Go to the website, but let's support this amazing program.
Absolutely.
Again, Coop, and to your staff, man, I appreciate all that you all are doing to move our community forward and our children forward in terms of education. Listen, Coach Cole, we got to take a break for a moment, but I need y'all to keep it locked right here. Much more to come. Gonna celebrate International Women's Month right after this. Keep it locked right here on The Culture Call.
This is a world premiere.
And we are back right here on The Culture Call with yours truly, L. Spencer Smith. Praise 93.3 FM, 790 WTSK. And wasn't that a marvelous conversation that we had with Mario Cooper, Executive Director of Elevate West Alabama? And I'm hoping and I'm praying, Culture Call, that y'all leaned in and tuned in and really look at that website. Go to the website, elevatewestal.org, elevatewestal.org, and find out how you can be a contributing factor to the success of all of our children. I am so glad and grateful to be a part of an innovative strategy. We're going to keep bringing more on because I think you need to hear about some of the wonderful things that are happening in our city. Yes, they are nonprofit. They are not federally funded. They are not marketed as some of the other programs that are perhaps suffering and struggling with all of the cuts that are happening in our country vis-a-vis education and all of those other kinds of things. But there are people who are doing amazing work in the community. And I want to highlight that on the Culture Call. We believe in that. That's part of our mantra, if you will, to make sure that our community is not late, last, and lost, and to educate ourselves as best as we can, because again, education is the key to the future. Speaking of education being the key of the future, our feature for our International Women's Month is Marva Collins. Yeah, Dr. Marva Collins. She was an acclaimed American educator known for her innovative teaching methods and dedication to improving education for children in underserved communities. Born in Monroeville, Alabama, she later moved to Chicago, where she founded the Westside Preparatory School in 1975. Collins believed in a holistic, student-centered approach to education, emphasizing critical thinking and personal development over standardized testing. Her school quickly gained recognition for its success in educating students who had struggled in traditional schools. Collins was a proponent of the Socratic method, fostering discussions that encourage students to express themselves and engage deeply with the material. Marva Collins received numerous awards for her contributions to education and has been the subject of many books and articles. Throughout her career, Collins faced challenges, including skepticism from traditional educators, but she remained steadfast in her mission. Her impact extended beyond the classroom. Collins became a sought-after speaker, sharing her insights on education at various conferences and institutions, including appearances on national television. Her work earned her various accolades, including the National Teacher of the Year Award and recognition from organizations and institutions across the country. Marva Collins' legacy lives on through her influence on educators and her inspiration to advocate for equitable education. She authored several books, including Marva Collins' Way, detailing her philosophy and experience. Marva Collins passed away in 2021, but her vision for quality education and unwavering belief in the potential of every student continues to inspire educators and reformers worldwide. Culture Call celebrates the late, great Dr. Marva Collins, the founder of the Westside Preparatory School in Chicago, Illinois, and we appreciate her and all of her innovation that she brought to education, being born right here in the state of Alabama. We are so glad and grateful for geniuses just like her. I believe, however, that she is not the only one that we have in our country, in our state, even in our city, innovators, those who are forward thinkers, revolutionary thinkers is what I love to call them, to be able to help us pioneer the next season of our educational journeys for our children. You know, the reason why that I wanted Coop to come on is because I want to feature those pockets of innovation. I know and I appreciate because I am too am a product of traditional public school education. I went to one of the best HBCUs, graduated at the top of my class. Went to one of the best HBCUs, Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, Florida, and then got my master's at another HBCU, Virginia Union University, the Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Theology. Got my master's of divinity from there in Richmond, Virginia. And now I presently attend Hampton University, receiving my Doctor of Philosophy in Public Theology and Community. And one of the things somebody said to me, well, why don't you try a PWI, another kind of school or whatever? It's because deep inside of me, I believe that there is genius and brilliance in HBCUs, in black colleges and universities. And I want to be a proponent of making people understand that my degrees are just as good as the Harvards and the Yales and the Princetons and the Dukes. I believe that there's got to be people who educate themselves, understanding the basic cultural competence and cultural self-identity that is necessary to be who I am in the world as a black man or a black wife who has black children, who passes a black church. You know, that word black is not something to be run away from, or it's not something to be melded and or morphed into something that it is not. I am proud of my heritage. I am proud of my ethnicity. I am proud of who God has made me to be in this earth. And because I had educated parents who took the time to make sure the investment of education was in all of us, in my sister and in my brothers, it's important. And I wanted to feature him because, yes, there are people who understand how we as black people think, how we as black people educate ourselves, how our cultural phenomenology, the things that we experience, the day-to-day living that we have that understands both our issues, our problems, but also who are finding ways to provide solutions and workarounds so that we can have the best footing for our future. Our children, our grandchildren will thank us because we were forward thinking. This is a season, Culture Call, that I believe that we need to connect the dots, that a sound mind, a thinking mind, is a mind that knows how to connect the dots toward the future. What we do now is connected to another moment that we've not yet seen. But for those who are forward thinkers, we've already seen that moment, because before we acted, those actions were based upon a dot that we conceived, a vision that we had, a dream that has been in our minds. And I think that when we begin to think on that level, just like Mario said, just like Marva Collins that we honor today, that we'll be able to provide best practices for our children, that we begin to expect best practices from our schools, our teachers, our principals, our administrators. But we can only do that when we ourselves too are forward thinkers. Outside of the box of entertainment and athleticism, that there's a whole world that needs our presence in the future. We need future doctors and lawyers, physicists. We need our children to be adept in AI technology, computer literacy. We need them in social justice. And when I say social justice, I'm talking about we need them in public advocacy, in areas that will start nonprofits and profitable companies that will pour back the energy and the resources into our schools, into programs like COOP's program, Elevate West Alabama. Because the more resources that we provide today, we give our children a head start in becoming the viable and the valuable citizens that I know they will be tomorrow. That's why we have to do it. That's our call. That's our mandate. And I pray that there is a mentalization over our community that, again, restores the potency of educational praxis, the educational forethought, foresight, and watch this, academic excellence. That there needs to be, what do we expect in this house? There needs to be a level of standard. Not just you getting your switch in your belt because your child didn't make the grade, but no, that we place inside of them an intrinsic motivation. A motivation that beyond reward, beyond certificates, beyond our names being called, beyond the gold star, the red star, the blue star. You all remember that? Beyond all of that, I want to achieve. The reward of being successful, of achieving, is the inward knowing that I did my best, that I've accomplished something. Not, I appreciate the external rewards. I appreciate all of those things, but I want to do better because I want to be the best. I want to be a person that when I walk in the room, or that when they look at me on paper, that I begin to take form and shape in something that is positive for the world. And that begins, yes, at home. That begins in a place, in a community that says, hey, your mom and dad might be working, but that is not an excuse. That is not an excuse. That we've got to break up their love affair with the love of money and begin to create an affair with the love of mind, M-I-N-D. Because as the United Negro College Fund's motto says for all of these years, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And it's my prayer today, Culture Call, that we really believe that and we begin to set up a standard in our own homes. Listen, I'm about to land this plane. This has been a great day, a great interview. But hey, it's almost the hour, but I've got to depart. But I need you to keep it locked right here, and we'll bring our closing arguments at the end. This is The Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith, right here on Praise 93.3, 790 WTSK.
This is a
Well, family, this has been a great day. I mean, an amazing day. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that you have been, you've received something from our interviews and our talks and our discussion today about helping our children become better students, to become better vessels, to become better reservoirs of education and information, that we promote and shine a light on education as, yes, still being the key to the future, making sure that they know and that they know that they have a responsibility to educate themselves. And not only them, but we provide a community and an atmosphere for them to do such. I pray that that's our takeaway today, you know? Shout out to Coop again, and to, as we honor Marvin Collins, hey, and I honor each and every one of you, the listeners of The Culture Call. Listen, at the end of every phone call, my grandmama and my mom used to say, I love you a bushel, I love you a peck, and I love you a hug around the neck. I pray that you have a marvelous day. Enjoy this weather now, because I understand this weekend is going to get interesting, right? So protect yourselves. Make sure that you wrap your arms around somebody. Let them feel your love, right? And actually say it out of your mouth. Let them know that you care about them. You never know how far that's going to go. Hey, have a great rest of your day. Be at peace and make an impact in the world. Peace.